Chapter 4. The Natives and the Newcomers. Carolina's native people greatly interested John Lawson. In 1700, the English explorer visited Waxhaw, near present-day Charlotte. There, the women danced nonstop in a circle for 6 hours until a white lather of sweat covered their bodies. Musicians accompanied them by beating drums made of deerskin stretched over clay pots and shaking gourds filled with corn kernels. Earlier, the Waxhaw men had spun around and gestured for 2 hours, a way of dancing nothing short of a stamping motion, Lawson reported back to England. Their shrieks echoed off the walls and pyramid roof of their council house. Villagers crowded onto benches along the walls, each spectator listening to the stories the dancers chanted. Just like everyone else, Lawson snacked on stewed peaches and smoked venison, deer meat, as he watched. Unusual sights, sounds, and tastes were the highlights of the trip Lawson took across the Carolinas. At Catapow, near today's Carowinds, he ate barbecue, meat roasted over coals just like today. Near Catapow, Lawson watched thousands of pigeons fly over in one afternoon. While at Sapona, where I-85 crosses the Yadkin River today, a fierce wind came up and almost blew down the village. The conjurer, what Europeans called a medicine man, who was supposedly able to cast spells on people and nature, rushed from his hut, muttered phrases into the air, and in 2 minutes the wind ceased. When Lawson returned to England, he published the account of his adventure. It was the first book written about North Carolina. Some readers recognized that the miracle performed by the Sapona chief was really caused by the passing overhead of a tornado. Even so, the delicious country that Lawson explored was filled with wonders. "None I have ever seen exceeds it," Lawson said of the region's natural resources and human accomplishments. The culture that John Lawson observed and wrote about had been 1,000 years in the making. Native Americans had lived in the Carolinas since the beginnings of civilization, and their lifestyle was the product of the many lessons learned about their environment. This lifestyle was all but destroyed by the explorations of Europeans. First the Spanish, then the English, came to claim Carolina as their own. They, too, would suffer in the exchange of germs, habits, and ideas between the natives and the newcomers. Section 1. Cultures of the First People. As you read, look for the various periods into which scientists divide prehistoric cultures, advances in tool-making, hunting, and agriculture, the importance of ceremonial centers and the green corn ceremony, and the following terms: archaeologist, culture, atlatl, pemmican, ceremonial center. When people first settled what later became North Carolina approximately 12,000 years ago, they were often cold. Archaeologists, scientists who study and interpret artifacts of past human life, believe the first inhabitants of this area came from Asia during the last great ice age. Many scientists believe the first people came to North America across a land bridge at what is now the Bering Strait. That climate was much colder than today's. Winters lasted longer and temperatures dropped a lot lower. Much of the land was covered by spruce and fir trees, which today only thrive in the high mountains. Huge mastodons and other now extinct animals roamed the Uaris. The beach was closer to the fall line than to the outer banks. In fact, there were no outer banks, but there were the first formations of what later became the Sandhills. Very little remains of these first people. They are called Paleolithic, Latin for old stone, a reference to the makeup of their tools. Most of the first people spent some of their time foraging, searching for food, in the Uwari Mountains because the slate there could be easily turned into weapons for hunting. Some of the oldest known spear points have been found near Morrow Mountain in Stanley County. It was the use of the first tools that led to the real first grouping of people, as they learned to feed and house themselves in common. Their habits and patterns are classified as the Archaic Period, another reference to a long-ago age. These habits and patterns of living are the basis of culture. Culture is the beliefs, traditions, music, art, and social institutions of a group of people who share common experiences. Some might think of the Paleolithic people as having a simple culture. However, these people had learned to survive in harsh conditions using only stone tools. Could you do as well? The Archaic Period. When warmer weather returned about 9,000 years ago, people formed foraging communities to help one another hunt game and gather nuts and berries from the forests. As hickory nuts, black walnuts, and oak acorns became more plentiful, people grew healthier. Their flint tools became more complex. Scrapers made from sharp flint could take the fur off the skin of a bear or deer and provide clothing. River rocks were made into the first hammers, some of which were used to open the hard shells of the nuts. The foragers would move from place to place according to the season. They would spend spring along the coast, where they learned to trap and spear fish. In winter, they would move closer to the fall line, hoping to find more fish in the rapids of nearby streams. Sometime about 5,000 to 7,000 years ago, the Archaic people developed an improved spear. Archaeologists have found these tools up and down the fall line. The points were more fluted, had more grooves, and hunters had learned they could fling their spears a longer distance if they used a launcher that extended their throw. The atlatl was a carved stick that had a base at right angles to the shaft. The hunter could set a spear on the atlatl and then fling the spear forward with more force and speed. Hunting improved. In fact, for the first time, smaller groups could succeed. It was no longer necessary to use a lot of people to corner the prey before killing it. Once again, life improved, diet became more satisfactory, and population tended to increase. About 5,000 years ago, the climate warmed more, and people began to live together in larger communities. Groups set up small clusters of huts on floodplains near creeks and rivers. For the first time, people had the technology to survive in the mountains. Hearths, permanent stone formations for campfires, have been discovered on the Swannanoa River near Asheville. During this time, the inhabitants made the first known clay pottery, shaped by pounding with hands and rocks. They also carved out soft soapstone to make bowls they could heat directly on the fire. For the first time, people planted seeds and harvested crops, most often squashes, gourds, and sunflowers. They improved their tools as well, using axes to chop trees and long rocks in bowls to grind meat, nuts, and grease together. This mixture, pemmican, was a long-lasting and nourishing food. There is also the first evidence during this time of ceremonial burials, where the bodies of the dead were carefully stored and preserved. Even dogs received burials, an indication of their importance to a community that still depended on hunting. Survival got even more likely about 1,500 years ago with the introduction of the bow and arrow, which made it easier to hunt smaller game. The Woodland Period. Life for the first inhabitants took another great leap in quality sometime about 3,000 years ago when corn arrived in the area. Maize, what Americans call corn, originated in Mexico. The first kernels were smaller than popcorn seeds. Over time, the plant grew larger and more fruitful. It was carried to what later became the United States by traders making their way up the Mississippi River. Eventually, it was introduced to the Atlantic coast, drastically altering life among the peoples there. The corn grew well in stream bottoms, particularly when it was grown together with its sisters, beans and squash. As a result, the level of nutrition once again increased, and people were able to stay in one place longer. What archaeologists call a village tradition became a part of the culture of the people. Pottery was used for cooking, and some villages even had an underground storage pit in which food could be stored in strong clay pots. The oldest known villages were centered in the Uaris on the tributaries of the Pedee River. These people were the ancestors of the Catawba. Other villages have been found in the deep mountains along the Little Tennessee River. These people were likely the ancestors of the Cherokee. Because people living in this time depended so much upon the forests for shelter and hunting, this time is known as the Woodland Period. Mississippian influence. For several centuries, the original people were influenced by a culture that came from the Southwest. Historians call this influence the Mississippian culture because its principal towns were located along the Mississippi River. The Mississippians, in turn, had been influenced by traders who came north from present-day Mexico and taught them new ideas. In particular, the Mississippians built ceremonial centers wherever they lived, areas that allowed them to come together for religious worship, recreation, and fellowship. The Mississippians believed that such ceremonies helped them grow better crops and live in better harmony with the earth. Their ceremonies were led by priests who had great control over their lives. The farthest advance of the Mississippian culture into North Carolina was along the PD River. About 800 years ago, around AD 1200, outsiders set up villages along the creeks that fed into the PD. It is unclear whether they chased away the inhabitants and took over their fields and forests, or just convinced the inhabitants to live like they did. Most of these newcomers were farmers and hunters, just like the people they replaced. They were also traders, looking for minerals, flints, and other valuable materials that were needed back in the larger towns on the Mississippi. The proof they were traders comes from items like copper from Michigan, which archaeologists have found on the site. To create community among the settlers, the priests ordered them to spend the autumn months erecting a square mound in the middle of the settlement. A large level field surrounded the mound, and a palisade, a fence of sharpened logs, was erected to keep out the intruders. Today, North Carolinians call this ceremonial center Town Creek Indian Mound, with the word town designating its place as the ceremonial center. On top of the mound, the settlers built a house with a pyramidal roof, where the priest lived with his family and where he conducted religious activities in front of crowds packed into the palisade area. Because the mound area was the center of life for the people, their leaders were brought there for burial. The remains of more than 500 people have been found there. The people came several times a year to celebrate. The most important festival was the green corn ceremony. Because maize had become such an essential food, Native Americans rejoiced each year when the corn grew ripe enough to eat. It was like the European Christmas, New Year's Day, and Mardi Gras rolled into one celebration. Families in each village cleaned out their houses, bathed themselves, put on new clothes, and extinguished their fires before coming to the ceremony. They would also take the black drink, a tea made from strong herbs that would help them purge the toxins from their bodies. The priest did the same. Before the assembly, he would relight his own fire on the mound. The people then feasted on roasting ears, boiled corn on the cob, and watched a ball game that resembled lacrosse. When they returned home, they took embers from the sacred fire to rekindle the flame in their homes, thus starting the new year. The Town Creek culture seems to have survived for several hundred years. However, by the 1500s, when the first whites came into the area, it had lost influence. Its customs, however, had become daily habits for most of the native peoples of what became North Carolina. Special feature: History by the Highway, Judicula Rock. The markings on Judicula Rock in Jackson County have never been translated. No one is sure if the Cherokee or their ancestors made the strange power lines that crisscross the soapstone. Some scientists think they are 3,000 years old. Legend says it was Judicula, the slant-eyed giant, that scratched the marks with his seven-fingered claws as he crawled over the rock. At one time, there were other similar stones in the area.